10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
The lies that your grandparents told you about classic rock. We will review, coming up in seconds first, Dr. Dave's Weather. Listen carefully to this.
Said the straight man to the late man, where have you been? I've been here and I've been there and I've been in between.
I have been there, I have been here, and I have been to the in-between. You hear that garbage? That's a piece of crap. That's a piece of music that your grandparents worshipped. Absolutely worshipped. They thought that was some of the finest rock and roll. No, that's supposed to be rock and roll. That's from an album called The Court of King Crimson, or The King Crimson Court. It's crap. And they'd listen to it for thousands of hours while doing ganja, while doing marijuana, in their dorms. Hours. And then what I've learned, I tested it on Facebook. I put on Facebook, I said, this is a horrible album. I wanted to see what the reaction would be from these people who are too old to actually understand typing. I think they were still pretty much with the hammer and chisel. And just horrible.
Said the straight man to the late man.
Where have you been? I have been there. I have been there.
I've been in between.
They thought this was profound. When they were stoned in their dorm rooms, they thought this was profound. You know, you play them Boys to Men and they go, well, that's not real music. That's not real rock and roll. You play them Charlie XCX, say, oh, that's not real rock and roll. That's not any good. We knew real rock. That's what your grandparents would say about their life in the dorm in the 70s. And what were they listening to? Did they ever make you listen to it? The Court of King Crimson? On Facebook, I put up, I said, this is awful. This is just a terrible album. It's been enough time now. Let's reveal that this was awful. I got 50 people going, no, Walter, you're wrong. No, Walter, you're wrong. Friends, not friends, vague friends. Oh, no, this is wonderful. It was brilliant. It wasn't brilliant. It was crap. It was stoned out of your mind. Crap. The Court of King Crimson or King Crimson's Red Court or something. Just awful. It was two sides of drug music. There were two sides to the gym, ladies and gentlemen. There were the drunk kids who were probably going to have sex in the corner of the gym. And then there were stoners who were going to have sex outside under the bleachers because they were committing a felony. And they loved this music. If your grandparents said, oh, you have to listen to the King of King Crimson's Court or whatever it was this. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I won't play it again. Just listen to it this time. To fully internalize how wrong your grandparents were.
Said the straight man to the late man, where have you been? I've been here and I've been there and I've been in.
So come in after. after comment after comment on Facebook on Walter Sterling on Facebook. When I put that up, I said, this is garbage. 50 people wrote, no, Walter, you're wrong. No, this was good. Or the people who vaguely think they can't afford to disagree with me, and they're wrong about that. You can all disagree with me at 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. They all wrote, no, Walter, I respectfully disagree. This drug music was fabulous. It wasn't. It was garbage. It was drug music. Where'd that get Liam Payne? Out a window. And that guy from Friends, where'd they get him? Out a window. He was probably listening to this garbage. They didn't kill themselves over the drugs. They killed themselves over this. This is horrible. Not music. Sorry. Not music. The interesting thing about classic rock aficionados, first of all, they're old. But secondly, it's a religion. And when you attack any one of the songs, or you say, you know, the Doors, I don't know. If you say anything like that, they run to the window and say, how dare you? This is a sacrilege. They treat it like a religious relic. Every song is like a religious relic in a Catholic church from an apostle. A bone. These are all bones of an apostle. Let me get you to half of it's right. These are bones. These are all bones. Finally, there was a station in Dallas that called themselves The Bone. I'm like, yeah, that's right. This is the bones of what was good. What's weird is that at the same time, I've been in too many meetings like this. Before I was a talk show host, a national famous KMOX talk show host, I was a guy in a suit who gave media companies' advice on how to get more whatever, subscribers, listeners, watchers, viewers. And I'd be in a zillion meetings where I'd say, well, if you're going to play the Court of King Crimson, how about a different station that plays the Association? How about that? Oh, no, those are 50 years old. Like, yeah, the Court of King Crimson is 50 years old, too. Why is the Doors, Light My Fire, which is 55 years old, why isn't that too old? Because the Doors, Light My Fire, is to us as 1920 was to that song when it was released. Pretty deep, huh? I think pretty deep. I love you. I won't do that to you. 855. I'm live on the radio on KMBZ FM in Kansas City, KMOX in St. Louis, KFBK in Sacramento. The brilliant Paul Vandenberg station in Albany, New York. Paul Vandenberg is my second favorite affiliate. He was one of the first to do it. In fact, he was the second affiliate. Paul Vandenberg, WPHT was first in Philadelphia, and Paul Vandenberg in Albany, New York, who owns the station. His butt's on the line. If he likes the show and he's the owner, attention potential affiliates, the owner put us on. Hi, 100% risk for every decision he does. And he's the morning man. When the hell does Paul take a vacation? I said to Paul in Albany, I said, I'll do your show. I'd be happy to do your show. Anytime you need a day off, I'll do your show. You won't have any listeners when I'm done, but I'll do your show. But I'm right. There's nothing sacred about the Doors, and there's nothing wrong about the Association. Good evening. I'm Walter M. I'm all choked up. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling every damn Sunday.
On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to share a story from my days working in the Manhattan North Narcotics Division. So as a police officer and then later a detective in the Narcotics Division, you're tasked with doing buy and bust operations, search warrants, but a lot of your time is spent on kites. And a kite is when a cop in an NYPD precinct will fill out what's called an intelligence report. That intelligence report goes to One Police Plaza, it gets kicked around, gets assigned to the Narcotics Division, and then ultimately it makes its way to the detective. Same goes if someone calls 911 and says, they're selling drugs in front of my building, I'd like to make a report, and they give their information. Well, eventually what happens is cops and detectives get these cases, and their job is to go out and do observations. And you do this, you'll sit on a location a couple of times for probably 15 minutes to a half hour at a time for intel. And if you see people selling drugs out front, or you see activity going and coming out of an apartment and people are not leaving with anything, what you try to do is send your undercover later on with a field team to try to make an arrest to close out these kites. So early in my narcotics career, I was working with another cop, and we were going around the Washington Heights section of Manhattan, and we were doing observations for these kites. So I noticed on one of his folders, he had the word EDP written on it. Now, EDP in NYPD jargon is emotionally disturbed person. So I said, what's that? He goes, oh, please. I said, no, really, what's that? He goes, this woman is nuts. She lives on the Upper East Side. She calls every 15 minutes. I can't get rid of her. I go, well, let's just go see her and maybe you can convince her. He goes, Vic, I'm telling you, she's nuts. So I convinced this detective. We go to her building on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Nice building. It was in the 90s. We knock on the door. She opens the door. She lets us in and she starts locking the door behind her. And there are more locks and latches on that door than a maximum security prison. And she goes on to tell us that organized crime people are following around. They're breaking into her apartment at night and grinding up glass and putting it in her food. I mean, she was a paranoid schizophrenic, but we were nice to her and we explained we would look into it and we politely left. So he goes, are you happy now? I says, oh, come on, it wasn't that bad. He goes, I never want to have to deal with her again. I says, all right. So he lived out in Long Island. He had put in a transfer to work in Queens Narcotics. So a couple of weeks later, he got his wish. He was transferred to Queens. But this woman kept calling the office. So what I did was I got a hold of his desk number out in Queens Narcotics, and I gave it to her. So she started calling him up all over again. And he called me up one day, and he says, Ferrari, I know it was you that gave her my number. So for more interesting behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Presumption and Dysfunction.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
One dead in Indiana. Strippers on the loose later. Sterling every damn night.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We ran into a gang of shoplifters.
Vagabonds, thieves, robbers.
But they got away. The story coming up on Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'll take some meth with that donut. People of Walmart, later. Sterling Every Damn Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Neil Rogers.
Yeah, that's right. I qualify. I'm a fag. That gives me a leg up, so to speak.
No, you can't. There's no fags in the church.
There's, oh my God. Wait a minute. I want you to get, do we have a bulletin? I wish we had a bulletin sounder. There's no fags in the Catholic Church?
No.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm so relieved. I feel so much better now.
Neil Rogers was a talk show host in South Florida for about 30 years. And if you never heard Neil Rogers, you missed an incredible experience. I urge you to search it and listen to Neil Rogers. There's a website that has most of the shows he ever did, and it grows. Now imagine that. The man's been dead for 10 years, and every month his website audience grows. That's how talented he was. There was nothing like it. There nothing will never be anything like it. He was open and aggressively gay. On the air, he was openly and aggressively gay. And he had three major topics in South Florida. He hated South Florida. He hated rednecks. He hated Hispanics. and old people. That was the bulk of his show in South Florida. What was the result? Number one men every damn book. Every rating book, four times a year, he was number one in men. And it was an unpleasant, uncomfortable show. It was hysterical, but he was miserable for 4 hours every day. And my favorite Neil Rogers moment, two things. One is he was obsessed with the Backstreet Boys. And he was very powerful. And he got on the air for months and said, the Backstreet Boys had better tour here. When they're going through the country, they better stop in Miami. And when they stop in Miami, I expect them to come to this studio. Fine. Backstreet Boys appear in South Florida. He's very excited. They're going to come to his studio that day. That day, they're coming to Neil Rogers' studio. Where was he? At INZ? No, he wasn't at INZ. Yeah, maybe at INZ. Peter Bolger, where was he? Maybe he was at WINZ. Backstreet Boys come to the studio. Remember, there were like five Backstreet Boys plus that creepy manager. All right. Door opens to the studio. Backstreet Boys appear in Neil Rogers' studio. What does Neil say? Oh, no, they sent me the ugly ones. The other favorite Neil Rogers moment, he was a diabetic. And every day at the beginning of his show, he would announce his blood sugar count. He was very, my blood sugar today is 98. Look at that. Isn't that terrific? And then at the same time, he'd always be pounding the sales department to make a deal with Ben and Jerry's. He wanted free Ben and Jerry's ice cream. And finally, the sales department made a deal. And DiRenzo, hey, his sales department made deals. His sales department made a deal to get Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Case of Ben and Jerry's ice cream shows there, dry ice. He opens it up on the air. Oh, I just wanted the fish food. I don't want all these other flavors like strawberry and banana, yogurt. I just wanted the fish food. I don't want all Ben and Jerry's. The man got free Ben and Jerry's, a case of it, and he complained about the selection. That was the Neil Rogers show. I was working with him, and one day he was on from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and I needed to tell him something. I left a message at his home at 1:30. He got off the air at 2. He lived near the station. He got off the air at 2. I call his home at 1:30. Answering machine, right? No. At 1:30, remember, he goes off the air at 2. At 1:30, he answers the phone. I said, what? Why did you answer the phone? I had to be home to see my soap. This man was making over $1 million a year. He'd cut out a half hour early to get home in time to watch his soap. Didn't want to miss his soap. Number one, what he used to do is he'd load all his commercials into the last half hour. He played American Comedy Network bits. That's how he did his last half hour. Brilliant. Number one in men in South Florida for 30 years. Off the air, just as miserable on the air. Usually the ones who are really a pain in the butt on the air are really nice off the air to buy their license to be really jerks on the air. Not him. Oh, I got more. I got a million stories about Neil Rogers. But that's a star, isn't it? You know him 10 years later, and you can still tell stories about them. There are people I work with every day. I have no stories about them. That's the difference. The storytellers win. That's kind of deep, don't you think, Alex? It's kind of deep. Walter M. Sterling, Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling at night, inspired by a hot girl.
So it says here that you hit your husband with a chair. Why'd you hit him with a chair? Because I couldn't lift the table.
All news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night.
Listen, Matthias, in Hollywood, isn't there some award show on tonight?
I think so. Not that I'm aware of. Maybe I'm asleep and I missed something. I was at a screening of Wicked today.
And how was Wicked? Will this give what's her name a big career boost?
I don't think so.
Really?
I think very well for the first couple of weeks.
Because boy, did they put a ton of money and attention into this. Tell us about Wicked.
Well, okay, it's a little bit early to do that, but what the heck, you know, this is a special show, and we can let our Midnight Misfits know that this is, in fact, ahead of the game. But I'll tell you something, when a mini movie studio pours in a lot of money and attention to the advertising, you know something might be up, and something's up here. The music is truncated from the musical. It's 3 hours, it's almost 3 hours long, there's no intermission.
Oh, my.
It has problems. Now, it's beautiful art direction. It looks gorgeous. The cast is fun. There's some really nice moments. But it's just ponderous and sad. And when I listen to a musical in the movie theater, especially if it's from such a famous Broadway show, generally the audience will break out in applause after each number. But this audience looked like they were looking at an oil painting.
Was that because of Ariana Grande? Is this because of Ariana Grande singing or what?
No, the singing was okay. It just was not what it could have been. Now, I think it's going to make a lot of money right away as everyone rushes to see it, but I don't think there'll be a lot of repeat business. But, you know, I could be totally wrong. I'm a 57-year-old man, and I have no clue about what kids like today. So I think a lot of parents will take their kids. And I think they'll like the stars, and they'll know the music. The best song is at the end of the thing, and of course, it's only the first part at 3 hours, the first part of a three-part planned series by Universal. They're going to spread this out over 6 hours like a miniseries. So, there you go.
Do you think Ariana Grande is too small?
No. No, I don't think so. She's got enough personality to carry it across. But
yeah, she has a lot of personality. That's true. What else you got? Else you got, Matthias?
Well, we've got a movie out now that's actually quite entertaining. It's called Red One, and this is a very convoluted plot, Walter, and try to follow along here because it's just crazy. But we have Chris Evans, big star. He's Captain America, after all. In this, he plays an internet tracker and a gambler who never seems to have enough time for his kid, but unknowingly sells the location of Santa Claus's North Pole whereabouts to a sleazy middleman, keep following along, on behalf of dark, get this, shape-shifting forces, they could be anything, played by Gryla, or rather, Gryla is the shapeshifter, played by, she's Kiernan Shipka, a beautiful blonde young lady who plays this part, who is the former wife of Krampus, Santa's estranged brother. Now, Santa Claus is played by J.K. Simmons, and he's kidnapped from the North Pole before the big night, and his right-hand man and security officer, played by Dwayne Johnson, has to find Santa, and save Christmas. Now, that is about as convoluted as a plot as I can imagine. It is just strange and bizarre, but you know what? It's absolutely entertaining, a crowd-pleasing action film. It moves right along. It's loads of fun. Some of my colleagues have called it, too much naughty and not enough nice, but maybe I like a little naughty. But I really enjoyed it. And Red One, I think, which already has made quite a lot of money this weekend. In just 4 days, it grossed $34 million. It's number one at the box office right now. I think this is the movie to go see if you're thinking about a fun movie, although it's a little early for Christmas, but why not? Christmas seems to come early every year.
Did you say Kiernan Shipka's in it?
Yeah, she's a lovely blonde girl. You may remember her from Mad Men as the daughter of... I forgot.
My annoyance at Mad Men was that I wanted her to have bigger scenes in every episode. I thought she was the star of that show. She was brilliant.
She's great.
Amazing. She's great. So Kiernan Shipka, what's the name of the movie?
The movie's Red One.
Red One. Now,
One is code for Santa Claus.
I believe that Kiernan Shipka needs a new agent because she should be a much bigger star than she is. She's always working, and maybe she said, look, I don't want to be that big a star. I want to be a working actress. She's always working, and she's right below that line. So maybe she decided to have a life rather than to have a breakout life, and everybody respects her. Everybody loves her. The funniest thing she said was... John, what was the name of Mad Men? The star of Mad Men. What was the star of Mad Men?
John Hamm.
All right, so Hamm. She said the weirdest thing for her is she'll be in L.A. She'll be on a date at a restaurant, and over there will be John Hamm, her TV father. And she says, there's nothing worse than seeing my TV father when I'm out on a date. And we pretend not to see each other. He kind of gets it and pretends not to see me. All right, Boom Boom, how do we get in touch with you, my friend?
Matthias Bombals Hollywood on Facebook, MATIASBOMBAL, Hollywood Like the City, on Facebook, Matthias Bombals Hollywood.
You're the best. Thank you for contributing to Sterling every damn Sunday.
I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here to share stories of our life living in an old house with our 8 kids.
And this week, we're sharing a story about shopping together. I was very excited. It was going to be a good day, and I asked you to take me shopping.
So we're in one of those discount clothing store places.
Because it's the only place to shop.
And you spied her first, a shoplifter.
Yes.
Working in conjunction with some guy who was acting as a decoy.
Right.
And this woman is shoving things into bags.
So she has the big bags that you buy at the front of the store. She's got tons of these bags, like a bag of these bags. She'll pull one out and start shoving massive amounts of things into the bag.
You point her out to me. Yeah. I start following her aisle by hour.
Right.
She knows I'm in on to her.
Soon as we made eye contact, she kind of cued the other guy she was working with so that he knew that we knew that she knew.
She's stashing these bags under the racks. You alerted the store employees.
I chased down the meanest, grumpiest store employee, who's always my favorite person. She's just nasty when she's in there. Everybody's always in her way. I thought, you know what? If somebody is going to say something to this woman because she already knows we see her and she's laughing about it, it's going to be my grumpy friend.
We went into team effort mode.
Yes, we did.
I'm following this woman. You're getting the staff. Everybody's on to this lady.
And they went into team effort, and he went out and got the getaway car.
Didn't know that, though.
Right. We just saw him kind of make eye contact and disappear.
What we also didn't know, when we're at the front of the store, we thought maybe we had broken up this whole gang of shoplifters.
Because she left some bags underneath and ran away.
But then we find out it's not just one woman with the guy. It's 3 women.
Right.
They run out of the store with, I'm talking, big Santa Claus bags full of stuff.
They weren't actually Santa Claus bags. What they did was they went to the back of the store to the home goods area and got giant hampers that are probably, 4 feet tall, these huge giant hampers. They walked around the store, collected the bags she was shoving underneath of the racks into these big bags so that when it was time to go, they could all run out together.
So I'm standing there dumbfounded, and I'm saying to myself, wow, there were 4 of them working together. No one from the store is going out to chase them.
Except for us.
So I run out, and I'm going to at least get the license plate or something. But by the time I got outside, the guy was the getaway driver, had the car running, and they were gone.
They took off. Now, we thought we lost them. We were disappointed. I walked back in and said to the security people who had picked up the bags that Dan happened to be standing by and said, well, did you at least see them? Oh, yeah, we did. We saw them. We can't do anything.
But here's the sweet part. A week and a half later, I'm looking at the news report, and there they are. They were arrested in another state doing the same thing. So, justice has been served.
When they were caught, they ran. There was a high-speed chase. They had to throw down, what are those things?
Stop sticks.
Stop sticks to finally catch these people, but they did catch them. One of them, underage, didn't get arrested. The rest of them, hopefully in jail.
This is exciting. It sounds exciting. Let's go shopping again.
Oh, let's go. You ready?
Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
And if you're looking for me, I'll be in one of those discount clothing stores, or you can find me on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday.
coming up.
One dead in Indiana. Strippers on the loose later. Sterling every damn night.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
I'll take some meth with that donut. People of Walmart, later. Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by George Carlin.
And the greatest arrogance of all, save the planet. What? Are these people kidding me? Save the planet? We don't know how to take care of ourselves yet. We haven't learned how to help one another. We're going to save the planet? I am getting tired of that. I'm tired of Earth Day. I'm tired of these self-righteous environmentalists. I'm tired of these white, liberal, bourgeois, liberal, white people who think the only thing wrong with this planet is there aren't enough bicycle paths.
Feel the dough. Eat the dough, J.B. Bakery, Salina and Steve, Sterling every damn night.
Salina, where are you guys going on Thanksgiving?
I was actually just saying I thought you were going to ask us about Thanksgiving. So we're going to be going to Stephen's sister's house, and as far as I know, everybody in his family is going to be there.
Where is that?
I'm actually not sure. You have to ask Stephen where it is.
No, you know where it is.
I don't know. It's in New Jersey. I don't remember where it is.
It's in New Jersey. It's not like in North Carolina or someplace strange.
No, thank God. It's in New Jersey, so it's civilized, you know.
All right, so there are going to be no problems getting there and back. It'll be fine. Do you have any idea how many people will be there?
At least a dozen, probably closer to 15.
Is this the first time you've been at Steve and your boyfriend's house for Thanksgiving?
No, actually, I was there on Christmas last year, Christmas Day, and it was the first time I really met his family since we were together and met everybody at once. So that was, you know, a little overwhelming. I'm less nervous this time, but I was there once before.
Are you an introvert or an extrovert, Salina?
I would have said introvert maybe when I was younger, but I feel like just through school and as I'm getting older, I feel like I've just been forced to talk to people. So I don't know. I wouldn't say I love socializing with everybody, but definitely prefer to be, you know, less social, I guess.
The simple explanation, the simple definition of introvert and extrovert is if you're an introvert, when you're out in social situations, your energy is depleted. And if you're an extrovert, when you're in social situations, your energy is reinforced. You're refueled. You're accelerated by social situations. What would you say are you?
So, I don't know. It probably depends on who I'm with. Definitely more extroverted now, though. I think I get more energy from it, especially with family.
All right, now you run a bakery, JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. I don't know why Stephen was all obsessed with getting this on the network, because your customers are going to come from, 15-mile circle. Much better off on PHT, Stephen. Now, however, because your bakery is famous, thanks to this show, and because it's fantastic, and you walk in there and it's grandmother's bakery, gee, you get reviewed. Let's listen to one of the reviews.
I am at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Let's start off simple. Glazed donut. Nice weight to it. It's like biting into a soft, squishy pillow. The donut itself has really nice flavor. It's sweet, but not over the top sweet. So soft. This is really good. Next up is the cream-filled donut with chocolate. This place is ridiculous. These are some of the best donuts I've ever had. I believe this is like a vanilla buttercream, and it is outstanding. The chocolate topping is pretty standard. It's good. You know how I feel about the donut. This thing is off the charts good. Next up is the double chocolate s'more. I think it's s'more. So this actually has a chocolate yeast donut base, which I don't think I've ever had before. Generally, chocolate donuts are the cake donuts. So I think it's just graham cracker, not s'more. The donut part itself is really nice. It basically has all the same attributes as the other donut base, but just kind of with a hint of chocolate flavor. It's not super strong. It's not super sweet either, but you definitely notice that cocoa flavor. This is a winner. This is an hour away, and I would absolutely make the drive for the donuts.
It seems you have a rave review, Stephen.
I really enjoyed his review, Walter. That's a local food critic. You know, he's a foodie. He goes around to New Jersey places. He does like the big sloppy sandwiches and all the, you know, the real popular sandwich shops. So he's really cool. I've been following him for like over a year, and he surprised me this weekend with a nice little review. I think he likes doing that, just popping into a place that he wants to check out, and he got the donuts. So there was no, like, you know, we're getting ready for him. He just showed up. But I was familiar with him, and I'm happy he got to try the donuts.
You didn't say his name. What's his name?
His name's Josh, and he has a channel. His Instagram is Josh Food and Stuff. So anybody could check him out on Instagram, Josh Food and Stuff. And
now,
he does
some
pretty cool places.
It begs the question, are all of the recipes yours? Did you create all of these?
I mixed and matched. There's some recipes that we have that, you know, the shop has from way back in the day. There's an original chocolate chip cookie recipe. There's a German cheese pie recipe, butter cake. A lot of the brownies original. And just like some of those small things, I got
tonight,
scratch donut mix.
Yeah, tonight, don't just answer the question. It's like a deposition, Stephen. I've got to teach you how to do this. Answer the question. Pumpkin bread. Tonight, a recipe for pumpkin bread that's simpler and better than any you've had before. I promise you that. If you want Stephen's recipe for pumpkin bread, it's free, it's easy. Send me an email at waltermsterling@gmail.com. waltermsterling@gmail.com. Ask for the pumpkin bread recipe. You will thank me. You will floor your relatives, all those annoying relatives. JB Bakery, Burlington, New Jersey, Stephen and Selena. All right, what have we got to do now? Let's see. Oh, coming up in just seconds, I'm going to share with you exactly why Finland is better than the United States of America. And let's solve the problem of celebrities going to other countries. I'm going to make it really easy. Let's take a look at what it takes to become a citizen of Bermuda. You ever been to Bermuda? I promise you. If you're like me and you went on vacation to Bermuda, your first thought was, I have to live here. I've got to live here. And then I used to think, well, what does it take? How wouldn't it be great? Because you can hear most of East Coast radio stations like WSAN from Bermuda. It's amazing. Walter M. Sterling, Sterling every damn Sunday.
As a kid, my parents sent me to a conversion camp. Totally worked. I've been gay ever since.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
This radio station is under the auspices of the FCC, and there's a new FCC chairman that you and I will discuss in just seconds. Now, Dr. Dave's weather.
All news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's all news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
All right, it's 11:08 on the East Coast, 8:08 at KFBK in Sacramento. New FCC Commissioner Carr, C-A-R-R, was the FCC's general counsel and the advisor to former FCC chair. He is currently the top Republican in the FCC, which is an independent agency that regulates communications in the U.S. and internationally. Much of our FCC law, most of our communications law, dictates how communications operate throughout the world, or else we'd be bumping into each other on the microwave spectrum forever. According to Reuters, he's been a supporter of tech billionaire Elon Musk and his efforts to earn subsidiaries for broadband internet service. He also criticized Vice President Harris's appearance on NBC Saturday Night Live. Because of it doesn't say why. Listen, I hear in the newscast and I hear in a lot of official places that NBC, CBS, ABC He said they should lose their license. He didn't say they should lose their license. The reason he didn't say NBC, CBS, ABC should lose its license is because a television network and a radio network do not have a license.
What?
No, they don't have a license. The FCC licenses are for the management of the microwave spectrum. No wires. That's because in the United States, we decided in the 1920s that the microwave spectrum is public airways. These are public airways. They are owned by you and me. They are accessible to you and me. And in order for signal after signal to not interfere with each other, they issue a license. It says that this station must operate at 10:50 a.m. This one must operate at 97.1 FM. And they get a license to operate that for a finite period of time and a finite number. No company can own more than a certain number of television licenses. No company can operate more than a number of radio licenses. And they expire. And on a fairly regular basis, they have to prove that they're serving the public good. It used to be much more rigorous than it is today, but they still have to sort of prove that they're serving the public good. A network is a closed circuit. It's like if you have two tin cans on a string, that can be a network. If you connect a wire to a speaker and an intercom in your house, that's a network. And what a network is, NBC, CBS, ABC, is via either satellite or, in fact, a wire. It is a private dissemination of entertainment and information that goes from the network point of origin, 30 Rockefeller Plaza, to an individual radio station. But it's private. Nobody can hear that. Until it gets to the station, and then the station can decide to put it over the public airwaves or not. The stations get licenses, but it is always at the discretion of the station whether or not to air a network show. It's called licensee control, and a licensee has to prove that they are in fact controlling that. It's more complicated than you want to know. But the point is, NBC, CBS, ABC, they don't get licenses. Fox doesn't get a license. Those networks don't get licenses. You can start a network. Yes, you. In your bedroom. Everybody you listen to on the radio has the same miserable career. When you ask us, why did you get into radio? How did you get into radio? We all have the same terrible answer. We had no choice. We had no choice. This is what, you know, it's like a calling, like a bad priest. We had to do it. And if you say to anybody in radio, well, how'd you start? Well, you know, I was 15. There was a radio station near me. I went there. I swept. I did whatever they asked me to do, but I was in the building. But before that, they won't tell you what they did. Before that, we practiced in our bedrooms. We pretended to be on the radio in our bedrooms. That's a very sad life. Think about that. We practiced in our bed. We got equipment. Anything that sort of looked like what we imagined a radio station looked like, we'd gather that up, take it like hoarders, radio hoarders, take it to our bedrooms and pretend to be on the radio. Yes, I did that. It was worse. I used to sneak into the high school office, and I'd photocopy what I thought were logs. I make up what I thought were logs, commercials here and announcements here and news here, and I'd make up logs. That's pretty sad. But not unique. Anybody you listen to on the radio, same horrible story. Just all the same horrible story. All right, I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling Every Damn Night.
It's the people of Walmart on Sterling at Night.
Frequently at the largest corporation of the entire world, people will go and do penny ante thieving. And there was a feller, 44 years old, unidentified as this moment. And you'll understand more as the story unfolds. apparently had an amazing hunger and didn't want to do what normal people do by paying for the donut. So he steals a donut and he eats it. Probably was pretty delightful because it was at Walmart. Loss prevention noticed, cameras everywhere at the Walmart. I hate to tell you this, but just look around. You'll see cameras everywhere. Police come in, arrest this feller, and find out that he's just loaded up with fentanyl and meth. If you notice when you go to Walmart sometimes, it could be first thing in the morning, middle of the day. It could be in the evening, late at night. There are a lot of people there who just are high. There's a lot of high people at Walmart. And I'm not talking about the associates. The associates are a perfectly straight and sober group of people. The arrest, according to the wonderful people at the Mount Juliet Police Department in suburban Nashville, the arrest is a reminder of how theft calls can lead us to other crimes, where dangerous drugs are located and removed from our community. Thank you to Walmart, your vigilant team. I'm just going to tell you something. You don't want to leave your meth and fentanyl like in the car, in the passenger seat. You got to take it inside the store. You've got to be able to go and do those things. That being said, it's best for you to deliver the meth and the fentanyl to where it's going. You're going to get paid. Life's good. And at your local Walmart, you can find many of the ingredients necessary to make your own meth just at home, like brewing beer. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
One dead in Indiana. Strippers on the loose later. Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Alex Daddario.
Do you just look at my boobs?
I was not my intention. I didn't stare directly at them.
You look at them right now.
Now I did. Because you were talking about them.
Now, Ed Till has just completed a tour of Europe as a stand-up comic. But I know Ed Till as a accomplished, skilled talk show host who last starred on Delaware 105.9 with the famous Dan Gaffney, who I begged. I said, you should do the morning show with your wife, Dan. And then, before that, he had many prestigious posts, including helping to launch Real Radio 104.1 in Orlando, Florida, which quickly became the number one radio station in Orlando, Florida. There was an incident, Ed Till, that I, the creator of 104.1, the never credited creator of 104.1, remember that you did, that showed us how an owner is supposed to act. Let me remind you of this, and let me get your candid reaction. Is that all right, Ed?
All the way. I love being here. Go. Yeah, be excited.
All right, here we go. Ed had too long a show. It was 5 hours. I don't know how the hell you did it. I don't know how anybody does a four-hour talk show. It's like working an air hammer for 12. But Ed did it, and he seemed to relish it more than he should have. But then he was on for 5 hours, and it was the general manager of the station also happened to be the owner. And he also happened to be very young, and he got it. He got everything. Mark Lass. He understood the mission. And one day, Ed Till's on the air, and he starts screaming that, because he screamed everything, he started screaming that the mayor of Daytona Beach was a protector of pedophiles. Do you remember this, Ed?
There was news to that effect.
You didn't make it up. This was based on radio facts. Yeah.
You were reporting
radio facts. So Ed's screaming, the mayor of Daytona Beach is a protector of pedophiles. That went on for hours. And what you didn't know was that when you were done, the sales manager of the station stood in the owner's door and looked at the owner and said, we've lost $50,000 because of what Ed just did. We lost $50,000 of retail business in Daytona Beach.
Wow.
Mark Lass looked at the sales manager and said, quote, "That's the format. You'll just have to make it up," end quote.
Oh my God. Well, why? Where?
Is that the greatest
where
owner
are,
who ever lived?
What a moment. We're greatest ever. Greatest ever. And that's born in. You know, Mark just got it, not because he tried to get it or he instructed himself or taught it. He just instinctively knew that this is a great gig. You want to be that radio station. You got, well, listen, again, you're the creator. You have the vision. But at the moment of launch, you know, like at Canaveral, there's Mark savoring every second. And I can tell you, as you would tell me, how often it is the opposite. They're terrified of what happened, and you're getting yelled at like you've done something awful. And again, we should point out, this is news I'm reporting. And it wasn't the sheriff himself, but it was even worse that the sheriff would harbor and protect that kind of individual as if something were more important than protecting his people. So a wildfire. And, you know, now we should really talk about us, right? As personalities on the air, we're very real. This is real. I mean, you know, it's funny. I listened to your ad where you say Merry Christmas at the end of the ad. This one I'm offering you is so great. And that's real. So you and I had the a pleasure, and also, you know, we've we challenged convention. We were disruptors before we were together, and then, as you said, it was like joining some incredible once in a lifetime spaceship, Real Radio 104.1. And you got us, Jay Clark. Got us Clark. You got us everybody, Russ and Bo. Right. You got us Stern.
So we're talking about
reveling.
Right. We're talking about Real Radio 104.1 in Orlando, Florida. I'm talking to Ed Till, who is one of the founding hosts, also on that station at about the same time. I'm listening in my car one night in Orlando, and Aaron's on, the sex talk host. What was Aaron's last name? Remember that? Remember her last
Aaron,
name?
Aaron. Yeah. Passion Phones.
Passion Phones with Aaron. Anyway, so Aaron... Aaron, who'd never been on the radio before in her life, but it didn't matter. Aaron was Aaron gets a call from a woman saying, I have a problem. My boyfriend wants to have anal sex, and I don't. And I'm sitting there holding my head in my hands. And Aaron says, well, a lot of my friends who don't like anal sex really enjoy rimming. And I'm like, I see a 30 share in my future. And son of a gun, she was number one in her first rating book. But then I have one more story. After that owner, and it became owned by Bud Paxson, which is a contrast, it was run by a horrible woman named Jenny Sue Rhodes. And, however, Jenny Sue was...
Oh, easy. I have a lot of love. She used to get her hair done on Fridays in Dallas, but stopped to see if I started trouble before she could go to the airport.
All right, so
was she a terrible woman? Because I loved working with her. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm wrong, but I'm going to tell you a really good story about her that's very positive, because she did the same thing that Mark did. Ready? There was some guy... I think he was a dentist in some suburb of Orlando who just was hammering us every day, filing complaints, going to advertisers, advertiser after advertiser, saying, you must get off this station. You must stop advertising on this station. He just never let up. And so what Jenny Sue did is she let you guys go on the air and say who it was, where his practice was, what he was doing, how he wanted to censor the station, and it worked. This guy was inundated with angry calls. Stop bothering the radio station. Do not harass the hosts. And finally, he calls up Jenny Sue Rhodes and says, you've got to make them stop. They're destroying my business. And Jenny Sue said, how does it feel? And that was the end of him. That was the end of him. This is like talk show host porn to hear management like this.
Yes, absolutely. You have no idea what this means. And I have to say, all right, so I'm going to give you a great anecdote about her as tight as I can. I got 60 seconds, according to my clock. So here's the thing. She's working for the other station at JRR. And she'd fired somebody on the morning show for being crazy. So I go on the air, and I go, this is crazy. Why is she doing that? This market needs crazy people on the air. They're fun to listen to. These guys are cool. They're not malicious. She calls in. She goes, you know, Ed, Tom, I'm listening to you. And one day I might be your boss. And, you know, right. And I said, well, you know, I love you, first of all. I said, listen to your beautiful voice. You're awesome. And I said, you know, you'd back me up. Well, so anyway, we had a cute moment when she was across the way. So the day she's our general manager is hilarious to me, but she had the white jack and she would check the building before she went to Dallas to get her hair done. Love her. You know, I love you. I can't get over these visits are amazing. Thank you. I wrote a book about radio, and where else do I want to mention it but with you? It's called Hired Tongue, The Adventures of the Ed Till Show. It's on Amazon right now, $20. It's a hilarious read, 39 chapters. How about it?
Hired Tongue, H-I-R-E-D, Ed Till, T-Y-L-L. It's at Amazon. You have nothing to do. I know about your life. You're bored out of your mind on Thanksgiving. Get his book. Buy his book.
But you say Merry Christmas when you it's great.
I'm sure it's great bathroom reading. Ed Till, you're the best. Thank you for being on Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling every night. Inspired by Richard Nixon.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
Look at this. It's 37 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling every damn Sunday. Now, we are on from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday. That's right, 5 nights a week. Because those lame shows that this station runs, in Philadelphia, they hear me live every single night. 6 nights a week. There's no host on your station that creates a brand new show every night. They do a lot of best ofs. I've never done a best of in my career. I don't believe in best of talk shows. To me, that's dead fish. And these shows are dead enough. They don't need to be resembling fish. They don't need to be resembling fish. This station, we can jump the gun here. We can cut the line. If I had to depend on a syndicator, a company that puts these shows on individual stations, like happened with the Sunday show, if I waited for that to happen, I'd be waiting for Godot. Did I ever tell you about that? I'm in high school, see. And I hated gym. I spent my life, my high school career, bribing my mother to get me out of gym. And this was in the days when moms had nice stationery. She had nice stationery, and she wasted it writing gym notes. I can't believe I'm writing another note for you to get out of gym. I can't believe I'm not overmodulating. Is that better? I hope so. And she said, you know, again, why do you have to get out of gym? And I tell her, just get me out of gym. Because the trade-off was I caused no other trouble. There was no other problem that this child caused. Never went to jail. I never did illegal drugs. I love it when I hear people saying, well, you know, and they had an overdose. They died from an overdose. They died from an overdose. No, they didn't die from an overdose of street drugs. They died from street drugs, not an overdose. Hello, follow along. Repete, there is no proper dose. There's no proper dose of a street drug. There is no proper dose of a street drug. Therefore, you cannot say, well, they died of an overdose. No, they died from a street drug. It didn't matter how much. Liam Payne, 1D, died because he put drugs in his body. How? With his hand. He drank, stuck the needles in, took the pills, stuck it up his nose, and that pink cocaine has no cocaine. It's a whole different terrifying thing that they say he died from. The hotel worker did not kill him. Just like that guy in Friends. Shame on them for arresting 3-4 people. They were responsible. No, he was responsible. This is the participation trophy generation. The PT generation, participation trophies. Rather than he's a drug addict, he should have gone to rehab, he's responsible for it. Well, you know, if you had had his life, well, there are other people with lives like that, and they didn't do drugs. There are other people with lives like that, they didn't get damn drunk every day. There are other people who have serious addiction problems, and they went to anonymous programs and got better. They took themselves to anonymous programs and got better. Good thing for the holidays to do. And they stuck it up their arm themselves, and they put it up their nose themselves. I can't stand it when I see what they've arrested, like 3 people, one of them a hotel worker, for being responsible for Liam Payne's death. No. You want to arrest him for drug dealing? There are about 1 million others they could be arresting. Where was he? In Sao Paulo, someplace in South America, where drug dealing was invented? Give me a break. But let's talk about Finland. I was talking about something else when I got off on this riff, on this sidetrack. Sign of a weak mind. Okay. Finland, listen. Why is Finland more advanced than us? Let's deal with real-world issues. When you and I go to Wegmans, Kroger's, ShopRite, and we're buying an avocado or a cantaloupe or a honeydew, face it, your grandmother knew if it was ripe. You don't. Your grandmother tried to teach you. You didn't listen. Wait till it's soft. Wait till 3 days. No. You didn't listen. You don't know. In Finland, at the avocado stand, the melon stand, they have a beautiful device, a digital device with a big green circle. And you hold up the avocado to the big green circle, and it says ripe or not, or ripe in 2 days, ripe in 1 day. And you can calculate when you want to use it based on this instant readout. No guessing. That's in Finnish supermarkets. Why don't we have that? Why isn't that in Kroger's, Wegmans, ShopRite, Save-A-Lot, where you go? Why isn't it there? These Finnish people are way ahead of us. Way ahead of us. Not Amsterdam, in Norway. Yeah, it's Norway. Norway has these magnificent streetcars, these beautiful light rail trains that are responsible for commuters, getting you around the city, getting you around the country. And how much do they cost? You've never seen more beautiful cars. They're magnificent. Oh, they're free. I don't know of a public transportation system in America that makes money or breaks even. Do you? Hundreds of millions of dollars they lose a year. This idiot governor of the state of New York wants to impose a toll for driving into Manhattan below 60th Street. You drive into Manhattan below 60th Street, you're going to pay an extra fare of like $9. $9 to drive into Manhattan below 60th Street. You know what that's going to do? That's going to drive everybody to 61st Street to try to find a place to park. And what the parking garages along 61st Street and 62nd Street are going to do is quadruple how much it costs to park your car. It's the worst idea ever. What did she call it? You know, I don't know. But it's a terrible idea. And in order to enforce it, they've got to spend like $100 million in those toll cameras to read your license plate and then send out bills for all the whining about the environment. She wants to send out paper bills, mail them to you, postage, open it, get it. Oh, my God. It's going to be a nightmare. What does she call it? What do they call it in Manhattan? Anyway, terrible idea. Just the worst. Wisely, she's decided to not start it until January after Christmas. It would be a disaster. But my friends in Finland have really solved the big problem. How to know if the avocado is ripe? They put a digital reader at the displays in the supermarkets for avocados. You hold up the avocado to it, a melon, different section, and it tells you whether or not it's ripe. Why can't I have that at Kroger's, ShopRite, Save-A-Lot? Why not? Why are the Finns so far ahead of us? Explain. Explain. My number is 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Do you want to try that?
Why not?
Great. Anything else?
How about dinner?
We don't start serving until 5 p.m.
With you.
Oh, I'm kind of... My last relationship ended kind of messy, so I'm not really in the market for...
You can say no now, but I won't stop asking. I'm quite persuasive.
One dead in Indiana. Strippers on the loose. Later. Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
Don't play cutesy with me.
Yes, of course. Shame on me. It was congestion pricing. That's what the governor of the state of New York wants to do. Congestion pricing. Thank you, Charlie Van Zandt. Thank you, Charlie Van Zandt, for everything you do for our show, which is a lot. It's a lot. And then he has to listen to me whine. And I'm like the worst boss. I really am. In the half hour before I go on the air, that's when I turn from being the worst boss to just being horrible. I used to have to do a lot of PowerPoint presentations when I was a consultant. I used to have to get in front of a room and explain to other people in suits why this was a really good idea, be persuasive. But the half hour before I had to do this, I was so horrible. The half hour before my performance as an executive, the smart people who worked with me, like Jake Fogelnest, said, Walter, I'm not going to be with you the hour before you make a presentation. I'm just not going to be here. And that was fine. I appreciated that. And a half hour before the show, I'm miserable. And the reason I'm miserable is that I never think I've done enough. I imagine that I have never prepared enough, written enough notes, found enough brilliant audio clips, and I never accept that it's good. Maybe once a month, I think I've done a good show. Maybe once a month. But that's it. The rest of the time, I'm like, oh. When Chris Olivero, who was head of programming for CBS Radio, said to me, you know, I think you should do a talk show. I'm like, oh, no. He looked at me and said, Chris, I did a talk show for years. It was my first job out of college. I was on FM radio stations in New York City. Yes, that's right. FM radio stations in New York City doing a talk show when I was 20. And what it means now, is that when I got off the air, I was convinced it was horrible. I'd go home. I'd get a bag of Lido Pepperidge Farm cookies and half, the hard stuff. Hide under the bed and dunk the cookies. That's how I dealt with it. They don't make Lido cookies anymore. I don't know why. I view it as a personal affront. But I said, all right, I know what it means, though. It means that I will be progressively neurotic. Let me prove this to you. Greg Stocker, is the brand manager of my home base station, WPHT, in Philadelphia, who's a really good guy. But he's beleaguered. The best way I can explain it, he's beleaguered. I'll say to him, so, Gray, what do you think about this idea? He'll go, hey, man, okay, just do your show. That's the extent of our relationship. Hey, man, yeah, okay, just do your show. And he always looks worried, but I don't know about what, because it doesn't seem to be anything in front of him at the moment that he should be worried about. And he does the morning show at WPHT in Philadelphia, and then he's the brand manager the rest of the day. And I'm like, look, I'm just happy to get through 3 hours. Just happy to get through 3 hours. And at the end of each month, he has been sending me the ratings. He's let me see how incredibly well this show has done against all odds and against questionable lead-ins until now. Well, this month he didn't do it. I only assume it's because they must be horrible, that he's managing in a Pavlovian way. If he doesn't show them to me, then they'll improve. But the last time I assumed that, I said, oh, they must be horrible. He says, no, they're great. And they were the best I ever had. That's neurosis. That's a tragedy that a grown man has to behave that way in his workplace. Is it an assault? Is it an abusive workplace? I don't know. Let me ask 18 labor lawyers. What a prize they are, huh? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right. What do we got to do now? Let's just make up the show as we go along. Oh, yeah. We have to talk about McDonald's insane new policy about no refills. All these geniuses who are leaving the country, listen to me. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling Every Damn Sunday. Listen to me carefully. All these geniuses who are saying, well, I'm going to leave the country. I'm going to leave the... What are you trying to do? If you leave the country, can you make it better? Outside of the country, no. Can you improve our environment? What is the positive force of you leaving other than an incredibly selfish act, committing suicide on the culture? And to me, suicide's the most selfish thing a human being can do. You're committing suicide on our culture and on our democracy, right? Let's say you go to Bermuda. Do you have any idea what it takes to become a citizen of Bermuda? It's 90 miles off the coast of North Carolina. It is not the Caribbean. 90 miles off the coast of North Carolina. I'm going to give you the details coming up, exactly what it takes to become a citizen of Bermuda. But let me give you the headline. The headline is, if you want to apply for citizenship, naturalized citizenship to Bermuda, an island of 50,000 people, a British colony. They love America. They can listen to East Coast radio stations. They can hear WGAN in Bermuda. They can hear WGAN in Bermuda from the coast of Maine. They can hear WPHT from Philadelphia in Bermuda. You know what it takes? You have to live there for 10 to 20 years. You have to be a resident in good standing, have done nothing wrong, be of good character for 10 to 20 years before you can even apply to be a citizen of Bermuda. And when you go there, you're only going to get a 180-day visitor visa. You're going to have to keep reapplying to stay there another 180 days, and another 180 days, have a nice time. And, oh, by the way, that's an easy country to become a citizen in. That's an easy country. Because in the rest of the world, you know what they've got? Borders. Yeah, I'm not talking about the bookstore. They have borders. And they're fussy about who lives there and who doesn't. You have to be of good character, it says in the Bermuda laws, if you want to live there as a citizen. And you have to know English. In Canada, they're much broader. You have to know English or French. And you have to live there for 8 years and pay your taxes and be of good standing. Isn't that amazing? I've got a phone number ready. It's 855-839-1210. And an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. waltermsterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. And I'll send you the incredible pumpkin bread recipe from JB Bakery and you in just seconds. Sterling on Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Believe this. Look at this night. It's incredible. And now Dr. Dave, weather.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
All right, now all of the UFO people have been wetting their pants this week because of the hearings about unidentified flying, whatever it is. I don't know why they just don't keep calling them UFOs. And my favorite congresswoman in the world, Ms. Mace, was the chairperson of this committee. And actually, for you, Dave Scott, why is there a dog? Why are we hearing a dog? Is that the serious dog?
I don't know. It's one of those little corgis my neighbor two houses down has that just won't shush. So I'm going to go inside and, you know, get out of this riffraff of the dogs.
Now, Dave Scott is in Canada. He's a known Canadian. He's a naturalized Canadian. There are no immigration issues with Dave. It's good. We get to hear the screen door. This is ASMR at its best. It really doesn't get any better than this, Dave.
You know, usually I do my reports from outside.
Yeah.
And the reason why I do that is because just one time, Walt, just one time I want a UFO to fly over while I'm chatting with you.
It will happen. I'm watching the congressional hearings for you. I actually made an effort to sit down and watch the watch the hearings. And I got to tell you, it was interesting because it's a topic that I'm fascinated by. You've educated me on. Ross has educated me on it. I think it's a great subject, especially at midnight, 9 p.m. West Coast. Don't take this the wrong way. The people on this, the people who testified, and some of the people on the panel managed to make it boring. Some of them went on and on and on about logistics and apparatus, apparichnik. It was like Moscow hearings. When she was on, it was great. When that D. Lorenzo, what's his name?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, that author guy. When he was talking...
Oh, Matt. Yeah, Matt... what's his last name? Schellenberger.
No.
Lou Elizondo.
Yeah,
Lou
Elizondo. The guy you're always talking about, this Elizondo. Okay, so I'm all excited about seeing him. And he didn't look up. He didn't look the questioners in the eye. He was hunched over. And you know what, Dave? I didn't believe him. I'm like, he's lying. He's making it up. And you've mentioned there have been credibility problems with him along the way. Maybe
yes.
I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I say that for the lawyers. Maybe I'm wrong. And Nancy Mace, is her first name Nancy?
Yes.
Yeah, so Nancy Mace, a congresswoman. To me, this is the most exciting, thrilling, possible testimony that our government could ever give. And everybody except Nancy obscured the questions. They all had their missions from God that they were going to get out there and they were going to talk forever to get to all the points they've been trying to make for 10 years. And they lost all their points. Am I being fair?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head, Walter. I mean, the four people who were speaking were former Navy Colonel Carl Nell. He really didn't bring anything to the table except talking that he believes that there are USOs, underwater UFOs, that are causing havoc with submarines and naval ships. Lou Elizondo, who we have talked about numerous times on this show, was, in my part, if I were to rate him out of 10, I'd rate him at about a 3. Mike Gold, who is a former member of NASA, as well as part of the Bigelow Aerospace Program. The only thing that he seemed to be there for, it was like he didn't even understand what the hearings were, because all he was doing was saying that NASA is the most transparent entity of the United States government, and we need money. We need money. Well, that's not what the hearings are about.
Therefore, Dave Scott, the reason you have great value to this show, and I'm glad you're my friend, and I'm glad you're on the show, Dave Scott, is you watched it. You have better ears for this. When you distill it, did we get a fact or two that you went, aha, that's really interesting? How about a distilled fact or two?
There were a couple. Number one, the information that was brought forward about imminent constellation, or immaculate constellation, pardon me. This was a secret program that really seemed to catch the ears of the panelists from Congress, that they wanted to know what is going on. There were some great lines out there, though, Walt. Anna Paulina Luna, before the talk, had allegedly warned Nancy Mace about mentioning Immaculate Constellation, basically saying you're going to have the Men in Black come after you if you bring that up. And Mace basically came out there, and there's a famous quote that she said. She goes, "Come at me, bro." Like, she was ready to drop the gloves like Donald Brashear back in his days with the Philadelphia Flyers. You know, I mean, it was absolutely incredible how tough she was, you know, basically calling out the Secret Service. And I believe there was one other gentleman, and I apologize, I forget the congressman's name right now, but he basically said, this is like Fight Club. This UFO topic is like Fight Club. He goes, you know, there's a Fight Club, but you're not allowed to talk about it. And he said that in reference to the fact that there is trillions of dollars that go missing annually, and there is money being spent on this. Well, why are we spending money on crash retrieval programs, on UFOs, and everything, if everybody keeps denying it? Why do you keep denying it and saying it doesn't exist, yet you're spending millions of dollars into UFO research? And that was a good point. Nancy Mace was probably the most upset about the money. And like she said, if we're spending money, we need to know where it's going. And that's American taxpayers' dollars. That's not the U.S. government's to hand out, you know, to spend however they want. No, that's taxpayers' dollars that they are trying to figure out where it's going in the defense budget. I mean, if you look right now, the defense in their annual audit cannot account for something like $2.45 trillion. Trillion, Walter. That would give everybody in the United States health care that amount right there.
All right, this is Dave Scott, who's our expert on UFOs, metaphysics, Bigfoot. He's Canadian. He has a terrific YouTube site called Spaced Out Radio. Spaced Out Radio. Go search it. Look for it. I think my job this week, Mr. Scott, is to get Nancy Mace on the show.
I think you should.
And I think
Absolutely.
when I get Nancy Mace on the show, you will be on the phone with her too, okay?
I would be honored. Like, wow, I would be honored if we can make that happen.
Yeah, so I'll get Nancy Mace on the show. I will let you know ahead of time so you can prepare professional questions, and I can sound professional even though my questions will not be.
Well, you know what? There's always got to be good cop, bad cop in every situation, correct?
Well, she's a hoot. It would just be fun to have her on and then to ask her about the wet tea contest that I'm sure she was in Florida as a teenager.
Let's hope so.
There's hope. There's always hope, my friend. Dave Scott, you're the best. I will talk to you again this week. Thank you so much for being on Sterling every damn Sunday.
I hate to even say this again. I don't want to come across as preachy, That's not why you're here at Sterling every damn night. But nothing good happens after midnight, especially at a strip club. Fort Wayne, Indiana is the home of an amazing club called Showgirl One. Three people shot outside that club, 3:20 in the morning, 3:20. One woman dead. We do not know at this time whether this woman was one of the dancers or a patron of this fine jiggle joint. But if it is one of the exotic dancers, I want to say it's time to stand up and save our strippers. Time to walk out with signs in your neighborhood saying, don't let Fort Wayne strip club shootings happen here. Hey, hey, ho, ho, save the hoes. So this woman's dead, unidentified as of this moment. Police say they do not have a person in custody, but they don't believe there's any danger to the public. That's good to know. Someone who apparently shot three people, not a danger to the public. Huh. Good news. No shots were fired inside this jiggle joint institution that's making Indiana a must vacation spot. By the way, if you know anything about this crime, you can contact Crime Stoppers by visiting them at p3tips.com. Let's save our community and protect our exotic dancers. From the Champagne Room, this is Vila Hools, Strippers on the Loose, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by lesbians.
How long have you been into women? I didn't say I was. Yeah, and half day.
Oh, my God. Good evening, Walter M. Sterling, 22 past the hour. This is the time for the Midnight Misfits. It's just you and me. And I'm so excited that John Higgins and Betty Herman and Jane Poland and Julie Gregory are new Midnight Misfits that have checked in. Mark Wentworth. I'm very glad that everything is working out on KMOX in St. Louis for you. I hope they continue to work out better for Mr. Moore. Oh, my God, I don't want trouble with Mr. Moore. And you at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210.
The United States Supreme...
Oh, what? What was that? Oh, let's do that. Yeah. I pushed a button and something worked. Nothing ever works.
Here's, we'll reach a new landmark ruling next week.
Yeah, nothing ever works. Okay. That's my fault. I made the mistake of trusting the computer. Don't ever trust the computer. It's not ready to be trusted. It has not earned my trust. Let's do this. All right. Hello. Eva Longoria. Remember her from Desperate Housewives? Eva Longoria, who you've had a crush on ever since Desperate Housewives. Well, she said something that actually was intelligent. She reveals the shocking secret about her marriage to Jose Beston. Jose Beston. Eva Longoria has revealed the surprising secrets behind her happy marriage to Jose Beston, with the Desperate Housewives star admitting that she, listen carefully, she admits that she doesn't think of her husband as a best friend. This is the, when I know a marriage is doomed, when I hear people, when I hear a husband or wife say, well, I married my best friend. Really? How boring is that? I mean, you married your best friend. I can't think of anything worse. I did not marry my best friend. When I got married, I married a hot woman who's still hot, who I love dearly, but she's not my best friend. We have very little in common. I live my marriage on a need-to-know basis. And usually, I just don't need to know. I'm like, go talk to your sister. I don't need to be involved with that. Just talk to your sister. I find that to be the best way. Because your sister-in-law, as you know, controls your marriage. But my best friend, who is still my best friend, but he doesn't act like my best friend today because I'm on this station, he imagined who I voted for in 2016. And therefore, pretty much hasn't talked to me or wanted to talk to me since then. He lives on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. And, you know, that's just a bad possibility. There's nothing good about that. But Eva says, he's not my best friend. He's my lover. I adore him. He is my biggest fan. He supports everything I want to do. That's a successful marriage. A successful marriage, I believe, unless they're going to hurt themselves, my job is to support whatever my wife wants to do. Sleep till 2 in the afternoon, honey. I don't care. Means more time for myself. It means more time I can watch stuff on TV you don't want me to watch, like Mayday, Mayday. You ever watch that show? 200 episodes. They made 200 episodes in Canada of the show Mayday Air Disaster. And it shows the recreation of an air disaster, but these are well done. They'll show the exact model of the plane that crashed. You see the exact cockpit, the exact configuration of the passengers. They're brilliantly done. I can't imagine how long it takes them to do it and how much it costs. But then I realized, oh, wait a minute. No matter which episode of Mayday, Mayday Air Disaster I'm going to watch, I know the end. The plane will crash. Do I really need to watch the whole thing? And then couple months later, I'm like, I really don't need to watch the whole show. I can just fast forward to the end and learn why it crashed. But that would take away all the fun. It's always a dilemma. What else did I discover this week? Oh, the other thing I discovered is Shark Tank Australia. Now, I like Shark Tank. You like Shark Tank. I watched Shark Tank Canada once. It was the most boring thing I ever saw. Leave it to the Canadians to strip out anything interesting about a show, even though it started in Canada before it came here. It started in Japan as Dragon Den. It was called Dragon Den. And in Canada, it's called Dragon's Den. With Kevin O'Leary and Robert Hershberger, whose name we can't pronounce. Right? Yeah. However, in Australia, and Robert Hershberger is going to be on the Australian version of it this season, it's much better than the American version because the sharks argue much more and they get very petty with each other and they are intolerant of each other. And to me, that's a much better show. Here, they all kind of get along, and maybe every now and then somebody will say something about Kevin O'Leary, but not really. In Australia, they don't like each other, and it shows, and it's great. And they're more deferential to the entrepreneurs. And when they make a deal, they all stand up and shake the entrepreneur's hand. Little things like this make it a better show. And in my opinion, it's a better set. So you might want to search Shark Tank Australia. I'm glad that I've given you these tips. Glad to help. All right, my number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210.
The United States Supreme Court will reach a new landmark ruling next week by a vote of 7-2, which will determine that making accidental eye contact with a stranger in public through the reflection in a window does count. Making accidental eye contact with a stranger through a reflection is one of the most unnerving things a person can experience. The indirectness of it only adds to the perceived weirdness and leaves too much still to the imagination, somehow making the whole ordeal feel even more awkward and self-consciousness inducing than if you had just stared directly at them.
Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by TikTokers.
Bro, science is so fake because they say that the sun is the hottest thing in the world, but they clearly haven't seen you. What? You're hot. I mean, hotter than the sun. I think we should kiss about that.
All news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Misfits, we don't fit in. We don't fit in. We don't get along with other people. And now we have to do Thanksgiving. I can't imagine a greater hell than Thanksgiving because I have to sit at a table and be vaguely pleasant. I actually told my psychiatrist the truth this week. He said, I told him when I meet people, they tend not to like me. They usually don't like me. And reflexively, I told him the truth when he said, why do you think they don't like you? And I said, because I don't want them to. Because there's, you know, then there's follow-up. They're going to want to talk to me again. I don't want to talk to them again. We're talking about neighbors, people I work with. It's different because I speak radio to them. Radio is a different language. I'm good at speaking radio. It's always short sentences, action-oriented. We're an action-oriented bunch of people, for people who have stomachs always hanging over our pants. No problem. This is really interesting phenomenon. Talk about Gavin Newsom is moving to Mill Valley in Marin County, California. I love that. Don't you love that? It's just so beautiful. I can't believe it. Mill Valley is 89% white. It has about a 2.1% black population, a 7.1% Asian population. It is 89% white. Mill Valley easily is the least ethnic community in all of California. And Gavin Newsom is moving his children, who are now entering high school, away from the nasty suburb of Sacramento, KFBK, moving them away from there. And moving to them to the purity of Mill Valley. I'm Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Sterling every night. Study books, rusty books. Get cozy with the owl and dawn.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late-night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, The Edge of the Sphere. A gentle breeze tickled Leora's bare skin as she stood at the edge of the pond. She was unclothed, save for the two silver bracelets always clamped around her wrists. Crouching down, she trailed her fingers over the surface of the sparkling pool. It was warm, though not too warm, and so clear she could see straight down to the bottom. Without giving it a second thought, she dove in head first. The water crashing against her body felt so refreshing, so real, she could almost convince herself it was more than an illusion she'd crafted. When she came up for air, she swam toward the waterfall to take a closer look at the scene she had created. The pool was shallower in the recession behind the tumbling spray, and she stood up in the waist-deep water. The reminder she was expecting company cut her exploration short. She crossed through the waterfall again and saw Stephen waiting for her at their favorite stone. Feeling his ardent stare lock onto her exposed figure, she beamed at him, issuing a wordless invitation to join her. Before he responded, she immersed herself in the water once more, savoring the freeing feeling of weightless suspension. Upon resurfacing, she flipped over and floated on her back as he kicked off his shoes and socks. He shed the rest of his clothing, and she caught her first view of his naked form, presented only for her enjoyment. His slate-gray eyes that had previously captivated her could no longer hold her attention as she had the opportunity to study him in full at last. His body was slim, though the lines of the muscular definition in his arms and shoulders were apparent to her, even from several yards away. Chocolate curls dotted his firm chest, descending into a narrow trail across his stomach. Whereas she hadn't hesitated to plunge into the water, he exhibited more caution. He slowly slid off the rock and slipped underwater, slicking his hair back from his eyes when he came back up. Leora noted his awkward splashing in the deeper end of the pond and led the way back to the waterfall. Stephen appeared to be far more comfortable when he found his footing on the bottom of the pool. Their visual exploration of each other paved the way toward physical interaction, and he waded closer to her. The energy and vigor with which he kissed her was enough to make her knees grow weak, and she clutched at him for support. His hand wandered down her back to hold her against him. The contact of his dampened skin along the entire line of her body sent a heady rush of heat spreading throughout her. As if remembering what had elicited her prior reactions, his lips moved away from her mouth. His tender kisses covered her neck, her shoulders, and her chest. But before he made any further progress, he pulled back. Instead of protesting, as was her initial response, Leora let her touch speak for her. She reached up to caress the side of his head, trailing her fingers through his hair, and hoped it would be enough to express how much she wanted, needed to experience more of him. In one swift movement, his arms slipped below the surface of the water, and he picked her up. She swallowed back a squeal of surprise as he carried her through the waterfall into the hollowed cave beyond. The slippery stones were cool underneath her when he lifted her out of the pool and placed her on its rim. She couldn't bear to be apart from him for another moment, and she slid a hand around the back of his neck to bring his tempting, moistened lips closer to her own. Stephen indulged her for a little longer before making his way down the expanse of her milky skin, and her back arched. When he stroked the inside of her thigh, her legs parted to allow him better access. Oh, I should probably stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, The Edge of the Sphere, which is available at Amazon in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by Senator Josh Hawley.
You're under investigation for falsifying 787 inspection records. The Boeing's under criminal investigation for the Alaska Airlines flight. You were investigated by DOJ for criminal conspiracy to defraud the FAA. This is all in your tenure. This doesn't sound like a lot of transparency to me.
Good evening. You are a misfit. You don't fit in. That's why you and I are together. No normal person listens to the radio at this time. Driving across Route 80, stopping at Iowa 80. We're going to get live reports from Iowa 80, the largest truck stop in North America. Velo Hool will be visiting there before going home for Thanksgiving and after Thanksgiving, and he will give us an update on life at Iowa 80 coming up Thanksgiving week. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I've got an email. I've got this great recipe for pumpkin bread. You like pumpkin bread. Great recipe for pumpkin bread from JB Bakery. Send me a note. Say you want the recipe. It's easy, and it'll be better than anything any of your competing relatives will bring to Thanksgiving. Promise. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Ask for it. I'll send it to you. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. The recipes from JB Bakery are fun because he coaches. He doesn't just say, use a lot of parchment paper. They always want parchment paper. I don't have any parchment paper. Do you? Of course not. No normal person has that. They don't have it at Dollar Tree. I've never seen it at Dollar Tree. That's it. But he coaches, and then there's a picture of the finished product and a picture of Selena and Steven from JB Bakery. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Now, here's non-news that 15 years ago would have been big news. Today, not news. Craig Melvin, it has been announced, is the anchor that'll be taking over from long-serving presenter Hoda Kotb after her last episode of the Today Show on January 10th. So Hoda's leaving January 10th during the announcement. Ms. Guthrie was full of praise for her new co-anchor, while Today Show fans flocked to social media to express their delight at Melvin's promotion. I have no idea who he is. Craig Melvin. However, an insider exclusively revealed that Melvin's time in the position would very much be down with whether or not Guthrie goes on to give her complete seal of approval. NBC and the show love Craig. He's beloved, but when it comes right down to it, Savannah Guthrie calls the shots and has the upper hand. They are now going to wait and see if the chemistry is there. If the chemistry isn't there, then they will change it up immediately. I don't know who this is, but here's the important thing. 15 years ago, a new anchor, a new host on the Today Show would have been major news, would have been front page news on real newspapers. Today, nobody cares. It doesn't matter. Because shows like the Today Show look anachronistic to me. It looks like 1968. It looks like, oh, gee, everybody's sort of happy all the time. Gosh, gee, and that isn't the way it is. There's a great local Fox television show, Fox 29 in Philadelphia. And on a lot of cable systems, you can see every Fox station. This is worth it because Mike Jerick is the co-host. Now, bear with me. I'll only waste 60 seconds on this. Trust me. And Mike Jerick is 73. He was the anchor on a network television show based out of New York on Fox. Like on Fox News. He did a morning one-hour entertainment-y type show from 9 to 10 in the morning. And he's been in television all his life. He's a television animal. And now he's in Philadelphia. He's happy in Philadelphia. But get this. He's on from like 6 a.m. till 11 or 7 a.m. till 11. And Mike is the most interesting morning show host because all the morning show hosts in America, think about your morning show host. They're always happy and they're fascinated by the new nail salon. Can you believe this new nail salon? This is so good. We're going to go there now for 20 minutes with the new nail salon or the new retail jeweler or the food. They bring in the food 2-3 times a morning. They've never had better donuts. They've never had better brownies. They've never had better meatloaf. It's incredible what your local morning show embraces. Now, Fox 29 in Philadelphia, in a true Philadelphia moment, get this. When Mike Jerick says in his earpiece, all right, now we're going to go to the new nail salon at the Jersey Shore. Mike will go, I can't wait for this. Or he'll go, really? That's what we've got? He doesn't welcome anything. Everything. He meets everything with disdain. And he doesn't do the normal courtesies of a morning show host. Remember, he's been on the air 40 years. He doesn't do the normal courtesies. He doesn't really look at his co-anchor who he likes and she likes him. But he doesn't really defer to her or look to her. He always looks off camera. I'm like, what is he looking at? Once I saw a shot at what he's looking at, the floor manager is also a 70-year-old guy. These two 70-year-old guys are doing the show for each other. You might get to watch. What is the result? It's number one. It's the number one morning show. Beats Today, Good Morning America, beats all the local shows. It's the number one morning show in Philadelphia because this guy, Mike Jerick, is Philadelphia. It's all his freaking attitude. I've got to get him to guest star on this show. Next time I take out, maybe he will do that. Do you think I could get him to do that? I don't know. But this Craig, whatever his name is, Melvin, Craig Melvin, nobody cares. and we're all going to worry about Savannah Guthrie, whether or not she likes him, the intrigue, the drama of the morning show. Does she like him? Nobody cares. Those days are done. They're gone. We are in the era of no prompter. We want television shows that do not have a prompter and at any moment can become a train wreck. That's what we live for. At any moment could a TV show become a train wreck. That's what we want to see, don't we? That would be our greatest joy. Now, I have a pumpkin bread recipe for you. Send me a note, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, and I'll send it to you. WalterMSterling@gmail.com, I'll send it to you. I have a spectacular website, Walter Sterling Show. Now, if you want to hear this show every damn night, we can do that. 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. Send a note to this station, to the program director, the brand manager, whatever the heck they're calling, and say, we want this every damn night. Let's skip ahead of the syndicators. This is what I wanted you to remind me of, Alex. Let's skip ahead of the syndicator and go right to the head of the line. Because what? The greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help.